It's time for the sports professor, Rick Carl. I feel like we should play the money song again because he's been waiting so long. It's been like 5 minutes since we heard the money song, but it's our money guy, the sports professor, Rick Carl, as it is time for the golf business and law segment sponsored by the law firm of McDonald Hopkins in West Palm Beach. I am, of course, not a lawyer, just a non-lawyer spokesperson for the law firm of McDonald Hopkins. Rick, good morning to you. You're still in New York, right? Because you were at the Belmont yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I just thought I'd wait a little longer.
Oh, you are a peach.
God. Hey, it's hard for me to sit there and listen to you guys for, 30 seconds.
It's like they don't know what minutes. They're talking about, and I got to listen to them.
Yeah, okay. So a great couple of weeks. Played a course called Old Musselburgh, which I think I talked about last Sunday with you, which is a 1567. Mary, Queen of Scots, inaugurated it. It's inside a racetrack that's continuing to be used about 15 miles south of Edinburgh. And the U.S., the British Open, I know this wasn't your question, but I'll get around to it. The British Open was rotated around Prestwick and then a central Scottish course and then Old Musselburgh for the first few years. And then they decided to move it from Old Musselburgh because the greens, it was like the old parquet floor at Boston Garden. Plus, the fans were so unruly, people said it gave them too much of a home course advantage, believe it or not. So what they decided to do was to move it outside and start moving it to the British Isles, England, and the rest is a little bit of history. But it is, symmetrical to be able to play that course in the middle of a racetrack and then end yesterday with going to the Belmont, buying all my Triple Crown souvenirs, buying a number of tickets on Big Brown to win because I thought it would be a souvenir. And then for one, just for $2, I said, let me spend $16 and I bet on each of the other eight horses to win. Okay, so here's my quandary before we get back to golf.
You made some money.
Well, I have a $79 ticket on Doterra. And, that's the horse ticket that shows the big upset of the Triple Crown winner. Should I cash it in for $80 or keep it as an $80 souvenir?
Oh, I cash that thing in.
What about you, Evans? Should I cash in or save it?
No, I think I'd save it. I think I'd probably frame it and put it on the wall because I'm more of the sentimental sap than Patrick is. He'd go for the cash, but I'm sentimental. I'm kind of into the nostalgic thing, so I'd probably save it as a keepsake.
Isn't that ironic, ladies and gentlemen? Because Evans quite clearly needs the money more than Rudy does. So it's,
yeah, that's
it's,
right, it's, but he's going point. For sentiment.
That's kind of an interesting
good
thing.
Good point, Rick.
Yeah, but in the
great point.
Yeah, it is. But in the middle of this, you didn't ask me this anyway, but I played a course called Keddick. I played 11 rounds, and we tuned in last week, but on Wednesday, my last round of the trip, it was a 180-yard par 3, 12th hole, one-year anniversary of this new course they built for the Scottish Open about 20 miles east of Glasgow, and a hole-in-one, ladies and gentlemen.
You made a hole-in-one.
Yes,
now Russ is
sir.
Really seething. How many is this for you, Rick?
This is number two. I've got pictures.
Was anyone there to witness it?
Two caddies and my buddy. My buddy, would sign anything.
Did sign the ball?
I got all four signatures, including mine, on the ball. I've got pictures.
That's great.
You go back to the clubhouse. They make you buy rounds of drinks. Luckily, there are only 30 Scotsmen there that day. But 30
they can do some damage.
Hey. Scotch for 30 Scotsmen, you know how much that is?
Rick,
but luckily,
I was planning on bragging about throwing out the first pitch last night at the Jupiter Hammerheads game, but I'm going to scrap that story because it doesn't match at all.
Congratulations
you making a hole-in-one
on that.
Over in the British Isles.
Yeah, and then I took some kilt pictures, which CNN is going to do next week if anybody wants to see that, running
we
around
don't
St.
See
Andrews.
Any kilt. No,
yeah, they do.
We don't.
No,
we don't want to
no,
see
do.
Any kilt, Rick.
You do. Yes, you do. We're going to see it, whether you want to or not. Rooney, I don't know. I think we're getting together later this week, and you're going to see him. So that's the deal. So,
and unlike Rick's day tour ticket, which I guess he's keeping, he used that ball the next hole and hit it in the water.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, what a story that would be. Luckily, no water
I know
in Scotland.
Better than that.
You know.
I know Rick saves a lot of stuff, so I'm sure he put that ball in like the inner compartment of his bag. It's like, padlocked it so no one could get in there.
I've got
Rick,
it safe.
Congratulations, buddy.
It couldn't happen
stuff.
To a nicer guy.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Hey, Russ, thank you. And Rooney, you know what I'm saying to you.
Wait, now give us the stats again. Give us the yardage, what club you used, and just paint us a picture here.
184 yards, okay, and it's the
three
first
wood.
three wood driver. That's very well put. Not bad. Not bad. Rooney knows that that's not the case. A couple of years ago, maybe so. Actually, I probably shouldn't say this, but it was a rescue club. It was that.
Yeah,
it was
that's
that,
the three wood.
Yeah. Well, no. This was that two baffler that you know that I use, and it. It
no
was
shame
a,
in that. I play. I play.
At
hybrids.
Least say the wind was against you.
It was
something.
It was the wind was against me. It was a high loping right, left to right.
Was it a legitimate shot, or did you get lucky?
Oh, my God. No. This was legitimate, and we can have my playing partner on if we need to validate it.
Okay, how close did the pin to the ball land, and then how many bounces, and then did it roll in? Did it bounce in?
Scott, it landed in the first third of the green, and the pin was tucked up upper right, which is the only way my balls can go in, because you know I sliced the ball a little bit from left to right. You've both seen it, and it was majestic, and we all looked at it, and we knew it was in. Unlike a lot of people, you know, they tell you the story about what happens all in one way. You don't know until it actually is there.
And so, I just know you were very reserved when they went in. There was not a lot of high-fiving.
No, and I said, look, just
you guys suck, I'm the best,
I just said, just a day at the office, pick it up and go. Now, I have about 100 pictures.
Yeah, right. Yeah. 100 pictures?
I got a snow. Oh, you'll see the pictures. I guarantee the pictures.
Now, wait, with a camera, with a camera phone, with a phone camera, or you actually had a regular camera?
No, I took about 800 pictures on this trip because it was one of those little one-shot camera deals that blow things up. So we did angels on the green, and luckily, you know, the
you did snow angels in the sand trap.
That's exactly what I did. I did everything. You'll see it. And then we had to go out and do a photo shoot afterward because the head pro wanted to make sure that we did some shameless publicity.
Well,
so,
I'll tell you what, I'll have you know I'm wearing a lime green Honda Classic golf shirt today. It's apropos that because I'm green with envy.
Yeah.
I am envious, buddy. I'm going to eat my heart out with envy over here.
It was about the best you possibly can get at the end of a trip like that. And the symmetry is first course in the history of golf, first round. Last round, a hole-in-one on one of the newest nice courses because they had celebrated their one-year anniversary that day. They built it to have the Scottish Open and others. It's a tough course, but this is the first hole-in-one they've ever had on that 12th hole. So they're doing a plaque themselves, and I had to buy another round of drink for those.
A Phil Mickelson-like plaque.
Oh, that's right. Did you hear about that, Rick?
No.
This is a great note in this week's Golf World. Colonial Country Club is going to place a plaque in the left rough where Phil Mickelson executed his 140-yard wedge shot to set up his winning birdie on the 18th hole at the Crown Plaza Invitational a couple weeks ago. According to tournament director Peter Ripa, a 5-foot square divot-strewn area already exists where Colonial members have tried themselves to duplicate Mickelson's shot over the last couple of weeks. The plaque will be the first to be placed at Colonial for a single shot, and is expected to be installed within the next month.
Wow. Interesting. But here's my question from a business perspective. How do you put the plaque in the bunker? What are you going to do with it?
His shot was from the rough. It was on the left side of the fairway. It went underneath the branch of the tree directly in front of him and then over the trees that were about 15 yards in front of him, and it landed just over the sand trap on the left of the green and rolled to about 9 feet, made the 9-foot birdie putt, and the guy on the other side of the lake jumps into the water, does a cannonball. The Golf Channel just beat that horse dead playing that video over a thousand times. But anyway, Mickelson won with a birdie on the last hole by a shot after a miraculous wedge shot from 140 yards out. Nick Faldo said on the CBS broadcast, and I agree with him, that was the best shot of the year no matter what happens between now and the Tour Championship.
Didn't see that, but it reminds me, you know, Carnoustie was the home of last year's British, but remember it was also the home of Vandeveld's famous flameout, and when you play it, including this last week, we still have people who remember exactly where the 7 shots were of Vandeveld's, and a lot of people try to take a 5-iron and deliberately get a double bogey so they would have, in their own mind, avoided that playoff. That, remember, Paul Laurie and Justin Leonard were in, and Paul Laurie basically has done nothing since that win.
Yes.
And Vandeveld has done even less, although I understand he's battling an illness. So.
Well, you know, Justin Leonard is the forgotten man. No one remembers that Justin Leonard was the third man in that playoff. Everyone thinks it was just a 2-man playoff between Lowry and Vandeveld. And Vandeveld gifted, basically, the 99 British Open to Paul Lowry, his shining moment of his career. You're right, he hasn't done much since. You know, Golf Channel, they were brilliant because they had Vandeveld last year, a couple of weeks before the British Open at Carnoustie, which Padraig Harrington ended up winning. They had Vandeveld go out to 18 and play that hole with a putter. He made a double bogey 6. By using only a putter. He made a 6 on the hole, 6 strokes, all with a putter.
That's brilliant. And it's fairly easy, not fairly easy, because that's a pro and it's not easy at all, but it is certainly doable to do that because the hole is, you know, you keep it left like you do, Pat, you know, in a lot of courses in Scotland. And, you know, you keep it out of the water and you're okay. But it was an amazing, amazing experience. And now home for a day and then out to Torrey Pines on Tuesday to be there through Thursday night, which would be a great experience.
Well,
too.
Set the scene a little bit, Rick, yesterday. I mean, 95,000 people, sweltering 96-degree weather. The anticipation that Big Brown's finally going to get the next Triple Crown after 30 years and just comes up. I mean, that was I sort of felt like I'm not saying it's an upset in the same realm like New England getting beat by the Giants, where almost everybody sort of wrote it as a foregone conclusion. But to have him come up with that kind of effort, you got to say that the hoof was bothering him or something, because he had more time to rest from this race than he did the Preakness. And just didn't have anything.
Well, you know, why would you discount that? I think that's one of the more brilliant points you've made in the last few years.
All right.
I'm serious, because I didn't see any of that in the press. It was equivalent to that. You could feel the atmosphere that everybody was there to anoint Big Brown. Bought all my souvenirs. So did everybody else. Big Brown wasn't stitched on there as the Triple Crown winner, but walking around the press rooms, there were full biography packages or horseography packages, I don't know what you call them, of, you know, everything that Big Brown did, including, you know, Big Brown quote saying, boy, I loved winning the Triple Crown. So, but there was nothing else. Clearly, Dattara had no little box in the press room, and it was a foregone conclusion. And then everybody, you could feel it. You could feel the pressure as all nine horses came to the starting gate, and you could feel the blood pumping, at least mine, and then you could see after the first turn, second turn, when he was up there in the third position, that everybody was okay because he was down the backstretch, and this is when he made his patented moves in the first two races, and it was just a matter of time. And then for seemingly 2 or 3 minutes, although it was less than that, people were already whispering to themselves because it was, why is he there? Why isn't he moving
right,
yet? What's
right.
going on? And then all of a sudden, you could just see everybody look away when he pulled up, and nobody cared that Dattara was 38-1 and finished first. People cared about Big Brown, first because they thought he was injured, second because we had to chase down the steroids story pretty quickly. And again, here is another athlete who has taken off his steroids cycle. Maybe they included drug testing for horses in the edict for baseball and football, and he had to get off of steroids, and he didn't handle it well, just like there are a lot of batters whose home run production is off about 30%. What do you think about that?
Interesting.